Hey there, welcome back to Social Echoes from True Voice Media. My name is John Steyer. I am your host, as always, for all things Social Echoes. And those of you watching on video, I'd like to point out my nice little doodle back here. That's a lot of fun stuff. Anyway, I am so excited because I have probably one of the happiest people in all of my social networks that I have on Twitter and Facebook and everything else. Just everything you post, DJ, is so just so it seems like it's got so much life. So here to join me on today's podcast is DJ Waldo from sunny San Jose. You're 45 minutes south of San Francisco.
That's right. That's right. Well, geez, no pressure at all to be positive during this episode, right? I've got to be on my game. It's actually funny you mentioned that. As you know, we have a podcast we started recently too, and a lot of the guests that we interview are we just talked with Jonathan Fields, who, if you know Jonathan Fields, the Good Life Project. He, like, when you meet him, I met him once in person, and he seems like the most calm person in the world. Nothing can bother him. He's into yoga and meditation and all this stuff. And one of the questions we asked him, I was like, okay, so is that all BS? Like, is that just your outer shell? And then inside, you've just got all this turmoil and everything. And, well, I won't give it away. You'd have to listen to the episode to hear his answer. But, you know, the point is, like, I think a lot of people, you either fall one of two ways. You're either, you know, your outward persona is very, very positive and you are a positive person, or you're just faking it. So I'm closer to, for the most part, a very positive person. But certainly, you know, there's times where stuff happens and, you know, and all that.
So, yeah, and that's going to happen. That's going to happen to everybody. I think too often I have people kind of come to me and say, on just like a normal day, they'll say, like, you know, smile a little bit. I have features that make me look like I'm angry a lot of the time, you know, just like I have a very heavy eyebrow. So automatically people think you're angry at something.
it's all the assumption, you know, people, it's one of the things I've learned over the years. I mean, I'm 37 now, you know, two young kids. In fact, you might even hear one of them pass by here in a minute. But, you know, it's one of the things I've learned is that you don't really ever know what's going on inside somebody's head. You know, I mean, I know there's all these studies about, communication is like 80 to 90% visual and verbal, or visual cues. So how somebody responds to you, how they smile, how they react, and all this. But you never really know what's going on in somebody's head or what their life is like, especially when it comes to social media, right? Because on social media, you can be anything. You can be anything that you want. I mean, you could have been a female for all I know. You know, until maybe you are. I don't know. But the point is, you don't know until you actually. Oh, that's a darn it, that's a secret. But you just don't know until you actually get to talk with somebody and get to know them a little bit better. And so that's why, like, we do stuff like this. I mean, we actually get to have a real conversation. It's kind of neat.
Yeah. So let's let the listeners get to know you a little bit better. As I said earlier, you are now in San Jose, California, but that's not your hometown. You've been all over the place. You've been Rochester, New York, and stop me if I'm wrong. You've been in Rochester, New York. You've been in North Carolina, Utah, and now you are out in the Valley.
Yeah. So I've actually – it actually goes back a little further than that. I mean, I went to – grew up in Rochester, New York.
Oh, that's right. And you're a Michigan guy.
Yeah, I went to school in Michigan. There you go. You might see that. Oh, I guess not everybody can see it.
Anybody who's listening to this, DJ just took his iPhone on the back of his cover. It's the Michigan Wolverines.
And then actually logo. Somebody – the folks at Livefire out here in San Francisco sent me this. This is actually a mini helmet signed by Desmond Howard.
Very nice.
I'm a big Michigan. So I went to school in Michigan, and then after Michigan, I went and lived in Chicago for a couple years. Then I lived in Kansas City. Then I lived in Florida. Then I came back to Rochester, where I ended up meeting my now wife, actually at a bar in Rochester, New York. And then, she was in her first year of medical school. So then we traveled down to Durham, North Carolina, where she did her residency, Salt Lake City, Utah, where she did her fellowship. And then, as of August of last year, we are now Californians. So.
Very cool. So You've also held in those positions. You haven't just been in social media or email marketing, which is your which is what your company Waldo Social is all about, email marketing and how you can leverage it to get the most business value out of that. But I think because you've talked with former Social Echoes guest Jen Peedy, who works at 2U. I was going to say Tutor. That's the old name, 2U, which is an education company. You were a teacher, right?
Yeah. So back when I was in Rochester, when I met my wife at the bar, I was actually going back to – I went back and got my master's of education, and I ended up teaching 8th grade American history for 2 years. I love working with children. I love, you know, I know it's kind of that cliche phrase, but you know, I really believe that children are our future, and especially now being a parent, you see that even more so that, you know, just, you know, young minds that have this, they're just amazing to me what kids can accomplish. I mean, even I watch my 3-year-old and just, you can see her brain working through solving problems, even our 11-month-old. I mean, just watching him figure stuff out is so cool. And so, you know, in talking with Jen, actually, one of the things we're talking about is I'm trying to figure out a way to kind of get back into the classroom in some capacity. You know, and my thought is if I can teach email marketing, you know, why not do something I have a lot of knowledge about, but also something I really love teaching and kind of combine those two. So, you know, kind of figuring out that process too, if I can do that on the side. I mean, obviously out here in California, there's tons of different opportunities to teach. I mean, there's San Francisco State, all the UC schools out here, Santa Clara. So I thought about doing that also. I mean, it could be kind of a nice little thing to balance some of the other stuff I'm doing with clients.
Yeah, Michael Brito, when he was on, he talked about how he's got the two classes at, I guess, San Jose State and UC Berkeley.
Interestingly enough, with Michael Brito, we live probably 5 minutes away from each other. I've met him a few times in person at, of course, different conferences, not in California. I think I can't remember where I first met him, but it was like in Knoxville, Tennessee or something. And we have yet to – it's like one of those things that's been on my list for 6 months is to get together with Michael, and we haven't yet for whatever reason. So maybe Social Echoes is going to be the glue that's going to bring us together finally.
Well, there you go. That would be a funny triangle simply because before DJ joined me on the podcast, he popped up the Google Plus Hangout window almost breathless, having just biked 6 miles. I guess it was 12 miles round trip.
Yeah, and I'm not a – I mean, I've got like literally a mountain bike from 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's not like a road bike. I'm not a biker. Yeah.
Yeah, he had just gotten back from meeting somebody, and I guess if you're only 5 minutes from Brito, I would imagine that that bike trip probably is like equivalent. Maybe you can hop on. Maybe you guys can work out, do some insanity together.
There you go.
So that's another thing. So I mean, like I said at the top of the show, there's tons of stuff that I think you and I could talk about. But before we get into the email marketing thing, you talk a lot about right now, like you have your two young children and your wife is in the medical profession. So there's a lot of health kind of concerns going on with you and your family, and you post a lot about that right now. And I think you and I have had different interactions like that because I'm doing my own kind of fitness weight loss journey, trying to get myself in shape for the rest of my life.
I wouldn't say kind of fitness journey, health. I mean, you're very much into it, right? I mean,
I'm about 160 days into it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't want to say it's where we first connected,
but I think it was definitely.
It might have been. Yeah. Because you share with me, you know, you're doing like a, you know, a daily. Is it a daily post or almost?
It's not a daily post. When I first started, it was, and that was because I really wasn't sure what it was going to be, and it started out with just like kind of taking photos of me, like holding up a sign, and it's like day 23.
Right.
And it just kind of it's shifting, you know. It's a living thing, so it's very interesting. I'm using a lot of photos because obviously it's a very visual process. Even people in my neighborhood, you know, people that might not see me every day, if it goes a month or so without seeing me, somebody might look at me like last night. I was at just a neighborhood function and walked into the house, and everybody was saying, "You look so different."
That's great.
It is. But
that's gotta be a great feeling. Yeah, I've been I think we connected too because I've been listening to Chris Brogan's podcast, and he kind of balances, you know, the human business way. So he talks to a lot of different business professionals, but he's got a pretty good angle on health and fitness because he's starting his own process, or started it in January too, of getting healthier. And so I think we had that connection there as well. But definitely, you know, definitely the health stuff. I mean, I think once you have kids, there's different points in your life where health becomes important. I think it's either where whether it's that epiphany of, holy crap, I'm just way out of shape and I've got to do something to get in shape, right? I mean, it might be an overweight. It might be you're a smoker. It might be you drink a lot of cola or Coke or whatever you want to call it, and you just realize I'm not, you know, I'm lethargic. Or there's, you know, for me, I've always been the kind of person that's, you know, I've run two marathons. And I'm only sharing that with you because I'm actually never started out as a runner. I just kind of, you know, that was like my way to get in shape. I've done different challenges to get in shape and all these things, but I've always been the kind of person that's probably healthier than the average, but I'm certainly not, you know, a health and fitness freak. But I think what happens is, you know, for me, the critical point was when I had children, you know, I want my kids to eat healthier, and they definitely, they mimic what you do. You know, it's funny. We've got some family friends who I remember going out with them, and their son is the same age as our daughter. And they said, he doesn't eat, insert healthy food. And meanwhile, while he was not eating the healthy food, Ava is scarfing down. This is our 3-year-old. She's eating broccoli, and she loves edamame.
Oh, good girl.
All this stuff. But the reason she likes it, and I granted, there's it's not all kids. I mean, some kids just don't like certain foods or whatever, but we give her that opportunity to like that food. And we just make it part of what we do and what we eat, and kids model that behavior. And so for me, that was a big – becoming a parent was that big turning point for me. Like, we got to – you know, this whole hormone stuff and beef, and like, if you're going to eat beef, man, it better be hormone-free. I don't want my daughter – you know, especially with girls, like getting hormones injected into their body at age 3, I mean, that's ridiculous to me. So, so we started, you know, my wife and I are certainly not perfect, but, you know, we're doing different things now. And it's funny, we started where, you know, we found this great air-chilled chicken. So as opposed to typically, I guess, I don't know a lot about this, but when they have to cool down chicken in order to kill them, right? So when they start to process the chicken, they cool down their body temperature. I think maybe you know more about this, but I think this is because otherwise, not to get too graphic, but if they're not cool enough, there'll be a lot of blood, right, when they kill them.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know a whole lot about the actual manufacturing process, and I probably should, only because if I'm going to continue to eat meat, which I plan on doing, I actually cut out. It's like 11 months now that I haven't had any red meat or steak. Wow. Or anything. Yeah. It wasn't like some kind of like, you know, social protest or anything. It just was, you know, I have a history of high blood pressure. I'm 24 years old. I shouldn't be having to deal with this at my age. I need to kind of get myself under control. This was an easy way to kind of to start doing it. And it was funny too, because a doctor of mine actually said, well, you're not going to cut anything out. And I just was like, you know what? Watch me.
Right. Yeah. That challenge me. Exactly.
But the other thing too, I mean, the reason that I find this to be a pertinent topic to bring up, it's not just the fact that this is like an important thing. And, you know, I'm not telling all the listeners that, like, you know, you just have to start eating organic and, you know, blah, 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 but it is important. But the reason I bring it up is because we talk about transparency in social media and these social businesses wanting to kind of be, you know, upfront with their policies, the way that they answer questions. And ingredients are certainly a big factor in the food industry. There's a lot of different companies that are kind of starting to latch onto this new food movement. Like, you know, you and I talk a little bit about Chipotle, because it's a national chain, and you have the Chipotle right in front of you.
I have the Chipotle menu complete with nutrition facts on the back if you would like to talk about this, because that's I was thinking about this the other day when you and I were back and forth talking about Chipotle and their menu. So I don't mean to interrupt you, but when we get to that, I want to talk about that.
Yeah, and it's just because, okay, so in Philadelphia there is a there's a thing called water ice. You ever had Italian ice DJ?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so in Philadelphia it's like a big thing. It's like one of, it's like a soft pretzel type thing. You know, it's like it's something that Philadelphia holds to their own. And there's a lot of really great local eateries and things that offer it, but there's one national one that is pretty, it's they're in 18 states now. I'm not going to use the brand name only because when I asked the community manager for a rundown of their ingredients lists, she responded back with a direct message. She said, "Yes, absolutely, I will." And I didn't get anything back. Like, she actually said, "I'll get back to you tomorrow." And that was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And it only leads me to believe that there's something in there that they don't want me to know about, which kind
Well, I
of
can
then
tell you
turned.
what it is. It's water and sugar are the first two ingredients, right?
You
And
would hope
then
so.
whatever after that. But st you're
Yeah.
still talking sugar. I mean, that's the thing to me, though. Is it still? It's like this is the thing that kills me about the health stuff. It's all marketing, right? So you see something that says, "Well, it's organic," but organic cane sugar is still sugar. Now, granted, it's less processed, maybe it's healthier for you, but it is still sugar, right? You can't deny that fact.
No, and I wasn't trying to deny that fact. I was trying to figure out, okay, so what are the different the colorings used? Is it are the natural colorings? You know, I use the word natural a bit liberally because, as you said, the word organic is thrown around so often that you have to do a bit more digging. And the companies that now have my brand loyalty in doing Project 180 are the companies that are local grown, that are upfront with their, you know, like Chipotle, food with integrity, and is upfront with where I can find, you know, what are they doing with their pork, their poultry, where they get their oils from, et cetera, et cetera. The more upfront you are with it, the more likely I am to, you know, be a regular consumer and also be an advocate for your brand. And I think that sometimes, I mean, this can go, this obviously goes beyond food. I just think that a lot of companies are still missing that.
Yeah, but let me share something with you. The reason I brought this menu, and I know if you're listening to this, you can't see the menu, but it's basically imagine like I don't know, I'm just holding it in my hand. It's basically got the Chipotle, and I'm a huge fan of Chipotle. I agree with you that I love that they're upfront about where their beef is sourced, and you know they put you know the big thing now is to put the number of calories on the menu. But you know it's like anything. I mean, it all depends. I mean, you could put the ingredients of a barbacoa burrito. I'm sorry, the calorie count, but it's anywhere from 500 to 900 because it depends what you get. But here's what I thought was really interesting: the nutrition facts. This is everything on their menu, and so what throws me off is it'll show the calorie count, calories from fat, total fat, saturated fat, trans fat, cholesterol, sodium, all this stuff. But I feel like I'm a pretty intelligent guy, and my wife's a physician. I don't know how to process all this stuff. I don't know what that, no pun intended. I don't know what this means. And so I think you and I were talking about this the other day. They've been testing out this new product at Chipotle called Sofritas. And Sofritas is basically tofu that is like marinated in their Chipotle sauce and blah, blah, blah. So I got this yesterday. So if you look at Sofritas on here, and compare it to carnitas, which is the beef, right? Calories of carnitas, this is for 4 ounces, is 190. Sofritas 145. Calories from fat, carnitas 70, sofritas 90. Total fat, carnitas 8, sofritas 10. Cholesterol 70 for carnitas, sofritas 0. Okay, so that sounds good. Sodium, carnitas 540. Sofritas 850. Carbohydrates, so you know, carnitas 1, sofritas 9.5. The point is, just because it's tofu, doesn't necessarily mean that it's good for you. And by the way, I still don't even know what that means. Like, I know that I don't want to have a, you know, I want to limit my calories, I want to limit my cholesterol, but do I do that in lieu of having half of my salt consumption for the day in one meal? You know, it's just, I think it's, I love that they're transparent about it. And this isn't a knock on Chipotle, but I just don't know what it means. I wish somebody could just tell me, is this really healthy for me or not?
Yeah, and I mean, there's plenty of different documentaries, there's different books and articles, websites. One of my favorites is The Food Babe, and she kind of explains it in really, you know, layman's terms as to how you can actually get a grip on different things in the food world and what food companies don't want you to know about. It's going to be the same in every industry, but basically, it's just important to know because you and I want to take care of not only, you know, ourselves and be selfish, but we want to take care of our families too. You have, you know, young children. I want to make sure that my brothers and sisters and parents are doing okay by them.
But here's the thing that's interesting. It's funny to me about that. You talk about, you know, we all want to take care of ourselves and all this stuff. You know, I had this conversation with my wife recently. I basically said, okay, let's list out what are the things that are most important in your life. And I bet you asked that question to 100 people, and 90 of them are going to say have at least one of these three things in there. So, you know, most people would say, well, what's important to me is my family, right? That's usually in there. Some kind of you know, happiness, however you define happiness. And health. Everybody always lists health. And yet, we don't spend enough time or money on our health. It's like my wife and I have had this conversation. Well, geez, I really want to get grass-fed beef. But geez, it's like three times the cost, right? But ultimately, if you spend three times the cost on we spend money in stupid places. We spend money on shoes and new shirts and stuff that doesn't really matter. Why would we not spend money and time on keeping ourselves, making ourselves healthier? So I don't know. I just think it's interesting when you ask somebody what is important to them, and then you look at their actions and their actions don't map. And I'm, by the way, I'm looking at myself in the mirror when I say this stuff too, because I'm certainly, you know, I'm not doing any kind of Project 180, but I'm not perfect when it comes to this stuff, by no means. I like a good In-N-Out burger or a good Five Guys burger every now and again.
Yeah, but you also weren't 287 pounds. But either way, I want to tie what you just said, actually, into a post that you just had earlier this week. And for reference, this is April 30th, 2013, for anybody listening in the future. You wrote about, are you having fun? And I think that a lot of people say that, like, yeah, it was like the word fun is just kind of tossed around almost too much, because when I think about it, sometimes, yeah, like when I go and play hockey, when I go and see a movie and then I laugh hysterically and quote it for the next 12 years, I had fun. I have fun quoting that movie. I have fun on the stage, et cetera. I have fun doing this podcast. But it's almost, having fun is like it's a state of health, and I don't think people think of that often enough. Do you want to talk a little bit about why you wrote the post?
Yeah, this was actually this. Are you having fun? This was something, believe it or not, I wrote about. I think it was an old post 2.5 years ago or so, and I just talked about this idea that are you really having fun? I mean, are you just faking it? Are you really having fun? Are you smiling? Are you laughing? I mean, if you don't have, and I realize everybody's got a different situation. And so, I mean, there's a lot of pressure, you know, for young kids these days, and a lot of pressure for small business owners. And, you know, I think social media is great in so many ways, but, you know, social media, you can quickly, you know, you open yourself up, you can quickly be torn down by a negative comment on your blog, or somebody says something bad on Twitter about you, and it can really get to you. But I find that we don't spend enough time just smiling and laughing and doing silly things. I mean, it's like, you gotta go back to having kids. You know, I watched my daughter just run around the house and just, I mean, she was literally yesterday, I won't tell the full story, but the end of it was she was sitting around in this car like half naked, put her sunglasses on, and was riding around this little bike around the house, and her brother, 11-month-old brother, was laughing his ass off. I mean, they were just being silly, being kids, having fun. And so this post that I wrote a couple years ago, it actually, I put a video in there. It was my wife and I at her sister's wedding two and a half years ago. And at the time, I think our daughter was like 4 months old, and she was like sleeping in the other room. And my wife and I have always, our go-to song, wedding song, is Baby Got Back. And we decided to have a dance off with her, with the bride and the groom. So the bride being her sister and, you know, soon to be brother-in-law. And somebody filmed it. We're silly. Just like, who does a dance off at their sister's wedding? Now, keep in mind, we dominated it. And to this day, we still, you know, we still talk about it. But the point is, we just did something silly and didn't care what people thought about us and just had some fun. And I think that's lost. I mean, my point with the kids is that I think with children, there's some point where that becomes socially unacceptable. I mean, if I were to ride my bike around the house half naked with sunglasses on, you know, I would be arrested probably. But I'm trying to figure out what that balance is, because that keeps you young. That keeps you engaged, and it helps in all aspects of not only life but your business. You talk about brands being, you know, open and transparent, and I want to buy from a brand that has fun, that's doing cool things, and their employees are happy. And for some reason, I think we lose that sometime between childhood and adulthood. I don't know what it is or how it happens, and maybe when you start to get more aware of the world around you and people start to be more critical. But I wish we could maintain that a little bit longer. I think the happiest people are those that have fun as much as they possibly can.
So I want to dive back into email real quick. You know, the name of your company is Waldo Social, and you specialize in email marketing. And a lot of things that I see from your Facebook page is that a lot of the times you're asking people for their either one of two things: their favorite email header that they've gotten, or email headline title that they've gotten in the last couple weeks, months, years, or the one that just they couldn't believe just how egregious that it was. What is it about email that kind of that has pulled you in and made you such a big believer in it?
Well, I think it's something that everybody, you know, there's a study from ExactTarget that came out, oh, maybe it was a year ago now. I mean, talks about how basically ubiquitous email is. If you think about email, it's in every part of our lives, and it crosses, you know, socioeconomic status, it crosses racial boundaries, it crosses age boundaries. I mean, everybody, email is just a part of our world now. And the stat from ExactTarget was something like, 95% of people use email at least, I think it's at least daily, if I remember the stat right. I mean, it was 94% use it at least daily. I mean, that's insane. Think about that number. That's really crazy. You know, we could talk about social media, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram. The people that are using those, I mean, and Facebook certainly is probably the exception when it comes to these. It's closer to email. But unlike people like you and me, people aren't using Twitter all day long. People aren't posting to Instagram or Pinterest, but everybody's using email. Whether it's from a marketing standpoint, receiving marketing messages and interacting with those, or on a personal level, just communicating with people. I mean, how often do you say to somebody, well, just, you know what, just send me an email. Send me that link through email. And so what attracts me to email is I think it's because it is so ubiquitous, and because everybody at all age levels and all different types of people are using it, it's something that kind of binds us all together. We can all relate to email in some ways.
What made you want to kind of take the dip into your own company, and how long have you had Waldo Social?
So in August, it'll be 2 years. The main reason I decided to start my own company is because, well, two reasons. One, the idea of having a more flexible work schedule, if you will. I mean, I didn't have to ask anybody to be on this podcast. I didn't have to ask anybody today to go bike 6 miles and meet somebody, not have to be a business discussion, but to meet somebody and then bike back. If I want to do, I mean, I can do all those things. I can be with my family. And I'm not trying to paint the picture like it's easy. I mean, obviously I need to have clients, I need to work with clients, I need to help. I mean, I can't just have to sustain my business as well. But I like that appeal of the flexibility. I've never been really good at, I think I'm good as a team member. I'm not necessarily good at answering somebody telling me what to do and when to do it. So that was certainly appealing. Then also the fact that I've been doing email marketing for 8 years. I think anything you do for 8 years, you tend to know it pretty well. I mean, I probably know email marketing, understand it better than most people. I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I've just been doing it longer. I mean, just like anybody else. I mean, if you've been playing hockey for the Flyers for 8 years, you're probably a better hockey player than most people.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that earlier. Now that you are in San Jose, the Sharks have always been my Western Conference team. Were you ever a hockey guy?
So I grew up in Rochester, New York, which means everybody in Rochester is a Sabres fan.
Makes sense. Yep.
As a kid, I used to watch
is a big Wegmans fan.
Oh, love Wegmans. In fact, that's a great guy to have on your show if you can. The guy that runs, blanking on his name.
Eric DiMacco?
Eric, yes. Do you know Eric?
I have been in contact with him because of his former boss. I had sent her an email, and then she, Erica Tickle, I think her name is. Erica okay. Tickle was in charge, and then she handed it over to Eric right about the same time that I'd emailed her a couple months back. So I will definitely try and have Eric on.
Yeah. He's, we connected, I think, I don't remember even where, through one of the social networks, but I think we actually went to competing high schools back in the day. But you know, I mean, as far as hockey, it's funny too. I went to Michigan, where other than now that basketball seems to be back, the number one sport in Ann Arbor is football by far, but a close number two is hockey. And I actually only went to one hockey game when I was there, and I've been to a couple professional hockey games in, you know, Rochester Americans, where I went to go to some of those games as a kid. I had a bunch of friends who played hockey. I just never, for some reason, I never got into hockey. I don't know what it is about hockey. It never appealed to me like other sports.
I think it's a game where it's a lot like soccer for America. It's something that you have to grow up with. I think
yes.
That's kind of something where it's ingrained in you, and you have to go through the being 7 years old and waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday to go for a practice or a game or something. And, you know, just those different trips to wherever with your teammates.
Exactly.
It's just that camaraderie.
Well, it's like the equivalent. My wife's been a swimmer her whole life, and she's, you know, both her brother and sister swam, and all of her friends in high school swam. And so, you know, she's talking about getting back into swimming. In fact, we were talking about that just earlier today, and I can't imagine getting in a pool. I mean, I can float, but that's about it. But it's something she, as a kid, same thing. They would go on swim trips and all this stuff. So it's just become part of who she is. So it's a great point. Yeah.
So you brought up the podcast earlier. You and your co-host Nick Westergaard have the Work Talk Show. Now I remember the first time I heard your name and who you were was on Jay Baer's podcast, Social Pros. And it's funny cause I actually had Jay on last week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That was a great episode. And you ended up kind of catching, I guess, the podcasting bug. You said, this is a lot of fun. I want to try this too. And, I don't know if you ended up getting back on Social Pros as a co-host, as like a guest co-host, and then you decided when you moved out to San Jose that you and Nick were going to start the Work Talk Show. What was the reasoning for kind of the Work Talk focus?
Yeah, so Nick and I actually connected first years ago, I think, at a Marketing Profs event, and then we reconnected. He asked me to speak at his event in Iowa, which I did last fall. I'm going to speak again this coming fall. And we started talking, and we just hit it off right away. Sort of like that guy that, you know, the kind of guy that if we lived in the same state, I think we'd be really good friends. I mean, I think we're as good of friends as we can be living 2,000 miles away, but we just connected and we started talking, and I mentioned about a podcast. He goes, "Geez, I've been thinking about doing a podcast," and all of a sudden, you know, we said, "Well, he's in marketing and branding and digital, and you know, my background's in email," and we said, "Well, we want to do something. Maybe we'll do a segment about how people get work done." He's, you know, because he goes, "I work remotely, and you do," and then we said, "Well, geez, let's not. There's a lot of podcasts, you know, out there that are talking similar things. Let's talk about how people get work done. Like, let's just do this as an entire podcast." And you know, we launched in October, and we're just slightly ahead of you in number of episodes. I see the 19 in the bottom of your screen now. We're at, I don't know, I think we're at like 30 now, but we do a weekly one. We launch on Wednesdays, and we're just, I think like you, we're just, it, you know, we get to talk to really smart people. I mean, I got to talk, you know, Jay Bear was a guest on our show, and we got to, I mean, it's great to be able to talk to somebody like that. And similar format to yours, it's not like, I think when you tell your potential guests that there is zero prep on their end, it's pretty appealing. It's like, okay, 30 minutes of my time to talk about what I do and have a great conversation with somebody. Sure, no brainer. So we're loving it. I mean, we're having a great time with it.
Yeah, so. It's fantastic. It's one of the shows that whenever I go into the city and I'm on the train, it's like there's about three or four podcasts that I just kind of go through, and yours is certainly at the top, just because it does give you a different idea of what's happening. I'm 25. I'm still trying to figure out who I am in this big, you know, big brave world and the big world of social too. But also with this podcast, as I feel like I've told everybody now, I was the 8-year-old kid at the side of my bed listening to the radio at such a low volume at night. Because I love audio, I love a human voice, and podcasting, just I wanted to try it. So,
well, the technology too is, it makes such as, it's low barrier to entry. It's relatively easy to get started. I mean, I think the challenge, just like any kind of marketing, is how do you get more people to listen, more people to download, more people to be. But you know, there's that balance. You get people like Jay Bear on, and everybody wants to hear Jay Bear speak. And then, you know, of course, I've got to follow Jay, which is tough in and of itself. But you know, it's fun. I agree. It's a lot of fun, and you know, we're enjoying it, and I'm glad that I was able to, you know, join you today too. This has been great. Love it.
Well, DJ, I sincerely appreciate it. I had a great time talking to you. Hopefully we can do it again sometime soon. But before you go, let people know, first of all, where they can buy your book that you wrote with former Social Echoes guest Jason Falls, The Rebel's Guide to Email Marketing.
Yeah, you can go to – oh, look it right here. There it is.
There it is. How convenient.
Actually, I have a whole shelf of interesting books here. C.C. Chapman. Let's see, there's a couple Chris Brogan books. Couple.
We'll get him on soon.
Mitch Joel book.
He'll be on in 2 weeks. God.
John Jantz.
Seth
Godin.
Yep.
Yeah. See all your potential and past guests. So you know, you buy the book on Amazon. You can go to waldosocial.com/rebelsguide. I think is the URL. I should know that. And then the easiest way to connect with me is, you know, what happens when you have a name, first name like DJ and a last name like Waldo. You could just Google DJ Waldo with a W on the end, and you'll find everything you want to know about me, and probably some things that you don't want to know about me.
Well, there you go. That answers the question of where people can go to be social with you. So, DJ, that concludes it. Thank you so much for hanging out with me, and enjoy the rest of the sunny, sunny day out in California.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. And enjoy – well, I guess it's almost summertime in the Philly area, so enjoy that weather too.
I look out my window. It is on the cusp of May, and I got a run in this morning, and it was just a nice 70-degree day.
Love it. Love it. All right. Thanks, man. Have a good rest of the day too. Take care.
You too. Take care.